If you want more information, I have my age development curriculum that you can watch and look at for free on my YouTube channel, Kyle C. Wilson Official. All you need to do is just smash that subscribe button when you get there, and we'll see you there. Welcome to class number 14 of the Obsession Beast Parent Education Level 1 course. And this one we're going to be discussing futsal and why you need to be careful, especially if you're looking for a long-term development standpoint. So, futsal is one of the best tools for player development. In fact, if I could, I would go full-time futsal for kids as young as, let's say, 6 to 13. Because the game, again, like basketball, never goes above 5 versus 5. And for me, that is critical and crucial for long-term player development, as you've already found out in this course. So, we would use futsal to an unbelievable effect. Now, you need to be careful with this, with futsal specifically. Why? And you may have the answer, you may not, but if you don't, I'm going to explain it to you. You may at least have an idea of what the answer is. And that is simply because there are people in this country, because football here, we have a lack of education for football and futsal. So when that happens, you're more easy to be taken advantage of. And that's what happens day to day from, I'm not saying everybody, but some specific trainers and coaches that will take advantage. And what happens is, in the case of futsal, is that players are being taught indoor soccer on a futsal court. I'm going to say that again. What happens is players are being taught indoor soccer, or soccer in general, on a futsal court. Futsal is a completely different game compared to soccer. And you're going to see why here shortly. Now, futsal, if you're being taught correctly, is about rotation and systems. I'm going to say that again. If futsal is being taught correctly, it'll be about rotation and systems. So I'm giving you some examples here. One of the systems is called 3-1 or 1-2-1. They're actually two separate ones, but they're intrinsically very similar. Then you have a 2-2 system, and then there's a 4-0 system. Now, you might be asking, what is a rotation? And it's a good question. A rotation is basically a movement of players to move the ball in a certain way to break the opponent's defense. Like, so you have four players on the court outside of the goalkeeper, and they're going to be moving in a specific manner to rotate, so they're changing positions to disrupt the defensive system. That's the best way to explain it. So, because the issue is, when you come to futsal, if players are standing still, it's almost impossible to beat the opponent unless you're very, very good 1v1 or 2v1 or 2v2. So you have to use these patterns of play to try and create goals. That should make hopefully more sense when it comes to the rotation aspect, what to look for. Obviously, I'm going to go into more detail in a second, but from a rotation standpoint, it's players interchanging positions to break down the defending team system, and that's how we use rotation of why. Now, if you go to futsal training and at U10 they are not teaching rotation, then there's a fundamental flaw with the training. If they're still just doing footwork and stuff for the majority of the session plus a scrimmage, then you're not learning real futsal. Now, I put 3 asterisks to this, so there's a small thing on the bottom about it. This is assuming the players are actually good enough. They can receive the ball, they can pass the ball, they can dribble the ball, and they can play 1v1. If they can do those 4 things, well, then they are capable of being taught on a grander scale rotation. So a typical practice, just for your mindset and understanding, would be kids come to a warm-up, then they do some sort of technical activity that's usually futsal specific, and usually it's actually teaching rotation. And then they implement rotation in some sort of game practice with defenders and then a scrimmage. That's a general overview of what a futsal practice will look like. So again, usually it's a technical activity followed by a rotation technical activity, followed by rotation, followed by, when I say rotation in a game situation plus a game. Now that is an attacking session, and it's just an overview to quickly give you an idea of what it should look like when players have enough skill. Now, unlike soccer, players do not play a fixed position. Players are constantly in movement and changing positions amongst their teammates. You need to defend, attack, and transition together in order to win and be successful. This requires a team to win the game, not one player, and that's why I'm saying the team has to work together to attack, defend, and transition. If all four are attacking and defending with the transition piece, success is possible. It requires a higher level of skill for each player for a variety of reasons, but a lot of them are, since the field is smaller and there's less players, they have more responsibility. They have less time to make decisions, and you have to be able to think and play faster than your opponent to be successful. And then what typically happens too, and a lot of people get confused about this with futsal, is rotation between players, subs and starters as an example, or just players on court versus off the court, is usually 3 to 4 minutes. So you'll play 3 to 4 minutes, come off, get a break, then go back on in 3 to 4 minutes. So you play 3 or 4, rest 3 or 4, play 3 or 4, rest 3 or 4. That's kind of the idea. It's not exact science, but that's typically what you'll see. And the reason for that is it keeps the intensity high. So kids or players are typically not playing an entire match of futsal. They're playing 3 minutes or 4 minutes, and then they're off 3 or 4 minutes, and they're back on 3 or 4 minutes. That's typically what happens, and that way the intensity stays extremely, extremely high. Now, here are the typical futsal positions. You have what is called a fixo. This is a guy that is like a, what I consider from a soccer perspective or football perspective, is a defensive midfielder. That's your rock, that's your base. He's a playmaker, but also a key defender. Then you have wingers or alas. Those are the outside players. These are guys that need to be creative with their movements, their 1v1 play, because there will be situations where you don't rotate and you take the individualism. And then you have your pivo, and that's your quote-unquote striker. The best way that I explain it, that's your like 9 and 10 combined, because they got to play like a 9, but they have to play like a 10. That's why I think pivo is a good word for them. And that's typically in a 1-3-1, I'm sorry, a 1-2-1 or a 3-1 system. Now, here's a defending hack for people that don't understand this. It's very easy, or easier, I should say, when a team defends in the same system the opponent is playing. So I will say that again. The easiest way to defend, especially for players that are new, if the attacking team, so not your team, the opposing team, plays in a 3-1, so that's 3 like this plus 1, right? Then you should play 3-1. And the point of that is you're matching what they are playing. Because if you use a different system and still, let's say they play 3-1, so 3-1, and then you play 2-2, there's different gaps and things that make it harder to defend against. Now, at a high level, you'll see teams use different systems. But when it's lower level, you know, not professional, so to speak, then you'll play in a certain way. Okay, second defending hack for parents, just because this is a question we get a lot, is, you know, we see situations, so parents will ask me like, why do you guys not high press, but then you sit at half? So there's two, I mean, there's more, but I'm going to show you two basic systems. So the first one is, when you're defending, you can high press. When you high press, what we call it, it's man-to-man defense. So that means every single player on the court outside of the goalkeepers have a single responsibility to defend one player. A single responsibility to defend one player. Now, that doesn't mean you don't cover and protect your goal or your teammates. That doesn't mean I go and stand next to the guy. No, I still cover the middle. We close in the central spaces so they can't play through the middle. But wherever my player runs or rotates to, I'm on him or her. Like, that's my job. Now, when we do what we call hold half, this means the team sits behind half court. So this is half. Our team stays behind it and waits for the opponent to bring the ball. And then once they bring the ball to around half, we press. Now, this is a zonal system. That can translate, or I should say transfer, to a man-to-man when you're aggressively pressing, but it's typically zonal, and you're, again, waiting in half, waiting for the opponent to bring the ball to half. So once they bring it to half, or in around half, that's when the team will start pressing together in a zonal system. So when I say zonal, this means if a player rotates, or we're defending, and the player rotates, you don't follow, you pass him on. And you stay in your system because the opponent is just going to be rotating and changing positions to try and disrupt your defensive system. Now, if you want to learn more about this, I have an online program on my YouTube channel called The Fundamental Futsal Tactics that breaks down a heck of a lot of information in regards to futsal that you can get for free through my YouTube channel, Kyle C. Wilson Official. You just have to go to my YouTube channel. Even if you probably type in fundamental futsal tactics, it'll probably pop, and I have an entire playlist for it, actually. So that's something that you should be looking for if you want to get more information or ideas about futsal. We really focus on the 3-1 and 1-2-1 system. Now, my advice for you when you are looking for a futsal club, because I do recommend that your child plays futsal, is one of the first things you should be looking for, are they teaching rotation? Even if it's not your child's age group, so let's say your child's like a U8 or U9, They're not really going to learn rotation. They're going to be doing more footwork and maybe some basic passing concepts. But once they get to U10 and older and they have level, they need to be being taught rotation. So they'll be in a 3-1 and players will be rotating in a certain sequence to try and disrupt the defending team. If they're just doing footwork, then that's a problem. And the other thing is, you want to make sure that you're playing at a place that teaches your child to use the bottom of the foot in probably 80% of cases, but at a minimum when receiving possession. If you don't see that, that's a huge sign that it's not futsal, it's indoor soccer, because if players, or I should say if coaches are teaching players to use the inside of the foot, so here, not on top, which would be the bottom, then that means they're teaching indoor soccer 100%, okay? But just keep that in mind. You want to look for a place that teaches to use the bottom of the foot, the sole, a lot, and teams that are teaching rotation. So here are my recommendations with futsal. I already gave you the first one. So find a club or team that actually teaches futsal. Remember that players will play a variety of positions. They're not just going to play fixed. They're not just going to play wing. They're not just going to play pivot. And then, of course, if they're being taught how to rotate, that means the fix rotates with the pivot. The pivot rotates with the wing. The ring rotates with the fix, as an example, right? And there's various rotations. There's hundreds of them. Now, that's just one idea for you or thing to be mindful of. And they will also come on and off. So do not expect your child to play the entire game, because it's not feasible in a long-term sustainability. The player has to come off and rest to keep the intensity level high. Now, also expect a lower skilled team, so a team that is lower skilled than the opponent, to defend at half more often than high press. And the reason for that is, if a team is lower skilled and they know the opponent is better at futsal, or maybe has more experience with futsal, if you go high pressure and you forget to do your job of playing man-to-man defense, you will get beat. So it's better to sit at half, keep the middle compact, and then once the opponent brings the ball there, then you start actively looking to press, and you'll see more success that way. But typically, the team that is better skilled, not all the time, but typically the team that is a better skilled team will win the game. Okay? And then, of course, like I said, use the fundamental futsal tactics program that I have on my YouTube channel, Kyle C. Wilson Official. Look for the playlist called Fundamental Futsal Tactics. It's 100% free and will teach you a lot about futsal. Okay? Now, without further ado, guys, we're cracking this long. We're almost done. We're going to class 15 next. So without further ado, let's get there and let's get to work. I'll see you there. Hey guys, I absolutely love that you're checking out and listening to the podcast. And I only have one ask quickly, and that would be if you could please share this podcast with somebody else that you maybe know that is going through the system or struggling to navigate it from the youth soccer perspective. And that would mean the absolute world to me, because as you know, I don't sell anything through the podcast and I don't have any sponsorships. And the more people that I can help, that is my overall objective. So I would absolutely love if you could share this with somebody. Take the 5 seconds to do so by sending it through social media or WhatsApp or whatever way that you like to share content, and I will make sure that I continue to deliver valuable and insightful content for you.